don't want to say that today's episode has a happy ending, because there are still a lot of unanswered questions. In the 1980s, Kansas City, Missouri met its match when women started disappearing without anyone really noticing. Hey guys, welcome to The Missing Ones. I'm your host, Liberty Campbell. Today's episode is a little different from the ones I've done in the past, because it starts with who is known as the internet's first serial killer. But before we start today's episode, I'm going to ask you guys to share my podcast with your family and friends. Sharing their stories is vital to bringing them home. They can't be found if no one is looking. Disclaimer, today's episode will cover murder, abuse, and sexual assault, among other things that might be triggering and upsetting, so please proceed with caution. When I sat down to write this episode, I had a hard time deciding on where to start, because there is so much that goes into it and so much that I think you need to know about this case. But I'm going to start at what I consider to be the beginning, and I'm going to start by telling you about John Robinson. John Robinson was an all-American man who grew up in Illinois in the 1940s and 50s. He was an Eagle Scout and had a rather normal upbringing, but he was far from ordinary. In fact, Robinson was very charming and manipulative. Think like Ted Bundy, but ordinary looking. Robinson eventually went on to attend a school to become a medical x-ray technician, but dropped out after only 2 years. But it didn't matter to him. With the knowledge he learned in those 2 years, he was actually able to con his way into a job at a major Chicago hospital as an x-ray technician. And at one point, he even worked for Wallace Graham, Harry S. Truman's personal physician. See, his classic all-American man front was just that. A front. Robinson actually embezzled at least $25,000 while working for Graham and committed a long list of other white-collar crimes. I mean, if I went through each individual crime that he committed, white-collar-wise, we would be here for hours. He was eventually caught and prosecuted for his crimes. But because of his outward appearance and normalcy, he was actually able to get probation and little time spent in jail for the majority of his white-collar crimes. Anyone that knew him would never expect him to be a con man, a forger, let alone a cold-blood murderer. Robinson's outward appearance was that of every white man in America, I guess you could say. He was a scoutmaster, a baseball coach, he taught Sunday school, and above all, he was a husband and a father. I am not going to go too much further into Robinson himself, but if you are curious, you can watch the 2020 special called Soul Survivor. In 2002, Robinson was sentenced to death for the murders of 8 women, Paula Godfrey, Lisa Stacy, Catherine Clampett, whose bodies were never recovered, Beverly Bonner, Sheila Faith, Debbie Faith, Isabella Luica, and Suzette Troughton. Their bodies were discovered in 55-gallon barrels on his private property in Kansas and a storage unit in Missouri. I listed all of his victims because their names deserve to be heard, and their stories are important. But the victim I want to focus on in this episode today is the young and beautiful Lisa Stacy. Lisa and Carl Stacy had a shotgun wedding in August of 1984 when she was only 19 years old. A month later, the newlywed couple welcomed their baby girl, Tiffany Lynn. After relocating to Kansas City and a rocky start to their marriage, Carl decided to re-enlist in the military and left Lisa and his brand new baby girl for Illinois. With nowhere else to go, Lisa's aunt took the young mother and her infant daughter to a shelter for battered women called Hope House in Kansas City. This is where Lisa met Robinson. He was working on yet another scam. Robinson had been going around to different shelters and homes, telling social workers and he was a businessman trying to help young and unwed mothers. So without a second thought, the social worker Lisa was working with introduced the two. Robinson was able to gain Lisa's trust by telling her that he would pay for her GED classes, help her get a job and a home, but she had to go with him. With high hopes, she moved into a Roadway Inn that the nice businessman she had just met paid for without a second thought. Lisa told her sister-in-law with excitement what Mr. Osborne, Robinson's alias, was going to do to help her get her life back on track. But her sister-in-law had a weird feeling and warned her to be careful. Lisa, 19 and knowing everything, reassured her and said everything would be fine, that Mr. Osborne was a professional and was there to help her. On the morning of January 8th, 1985, Lisa was at her sister-in-law's house picking up baby Tiffany. At some point, Lisa called the front desk at the Roadway Inn she was staying at and left a message for Robinson because he was expecting her to be there, but since there was a major snowstorm, she wouldn't be there at the time they had talked about. Approximately 25 minutes after leaving a message for Robinson, he showed up at the sister-in-law's house, ready to drag Lisa and the baby back to the hotel. He even left Lisa's car and belongings behind. When they arrived back at the hotel, no one knows exactly what happened. We do know that Lisa called her mother-in-law hysterical, saying that there were unidentified people there asking her to sign some blank papers, and they wanted her to sign her parental rights over. The phone call ended when Lisa whispered, "Here they come." This would be the last time anyone would ever hear from her. John Robinson would make Lisa Stacy his second victim. It is unknown exactly how he killed her, but he has admitted to her murder. Now, if you're like me, all you can think about is what happened to the baby Tiffany after her mother went missing. Well, this is when it really gets messed up. See, John had a brother back in Chicago named Don. Don and his wife, Frida, were coming to terms with the fact that they were unable to have children after 5 long years of trying. The couple mentioned to their family that they decided to adopt since conceiving a child on their own just wasn't in the works for them. Robinson was very sympathetic towards his brother and sister-in-law and casually mentioned that he actually knew a lawyer who could help them with the adoption process. He said he would be in touch soon with more details. But I promise, these were just lies. An unknown amount of time later, Robinson calls his brother and sister-in-law with news of a baby girl who had just become available after her mother had killed herself, and they needed to get to Kansas City as soon as possible. The couple fell head over heels in love with a 4-month-old baby girl that they would soon name Heather Tiffany. Don and Frida signed some papers and gave Robinson thousands of dollars to cover the adoption fees, and never gave the adoption of their daughter a second thought. They were just happy and blessed to have their baby girl. Don Robinson said that the paperwork his brother presented to them all seemed legit and official, so they had no real reason to expect any wrongdoing. Heather Tiffany Robinson grew up in a healthy and happy home in Illinois. Photos from her childhood are filled with smiles, laughter, and good times. But 15 years later, the story of her life suddenly took a turn, when in 2000, Heather's Uncle John was arrested. In 2019, Heather finally spoke up in a 2020 episode. In her first public interview since Robinson was arrested, Heather remembers her mom panicking, asking how John could have done this to them, and even worried that they would go to jail for the role they unknowingly played in Heather's abduction. She said it was the first time she had ever seen her dad cry. Her adoptive parents were afraid that they would lose custody of the illegally adopted daughter, and Don felt betrayed by what his brother had done. In the 2020 interview, Heather mentions her uneasy feelings for Robinson. Quote, "It's like walking down a dark alley in the middle of the night. Well, you know someone is behind you, approaching you, closer and closer," unquote. Heather talks about a wedding the family attended in Florida shortly before he was arrested, where he asked her sexual questions and danced a little too close to her. Robinson talked to her about how things were at home between her parents and offered a plane ticket for her if things between her parents got too bad. She admitted to considering the offer, but said, quote, "I'd be dead. I would be in that barrel," referring to the barrels Robinson's victims were found in. The discovery of Heather's true origins even took her birthday away from her. Robinson told his brother that her birthday was October 12th, 1984, but really she was born on September 3rd, and that was really hard for Heather because she said she loved Halloween and loved having an October birthday. With tears in her eyes, she told 2020 that her sweet 16th birthday was spent crying in her bedroom, alone and overwhelmed. While filming the 2020 episode, Heather was given a 42-page letter that was supposedly from Lisa Stacy, saying she was alive and well and that John Robinson wouldn't harm anyone. The letters were proven to be fake, and Heather believes that the man who killed her biological mother was still just trying to string her family along. Heather and her family have not stopped looking for Lisa Stacy. There is a memorial for her, but they hope that it can one day be a final resting place for Lisa. There is a lot about this entire case I left out for time reasons, But if you are curious about John Robinson and his crimes, I suggest you watch the 2020 and the Cold Case Classics episode that go into great detail about everything I mentioned today. Cases like this don't happen every single day, and Heather's biological family is grateful for how far things have come as far as finding Heather and knowing that the beautiful baby girl Tiffany is safe, happy, and healthy. But they want answers for Lisa, and John is holding them captive. If you or anyone you know something about Lisa Stacy and where her remains might be, please contact the Kansas City Police Department at 816-234-5111. And remember, if you see something, say something. Thank you guys for listening this week. If you would like more information about this case or the other cases I have covered on here, you can find it on our blog, themissingonespodcast.wordpress.com. There you will also find my source links and photos from today's episode. You can connect with me over on Instagram at The Missing Ones Podcast or my personal account at Liberty Luray. I'd love to see you there. Have a great week.